Sometimes I feel like I'm one of those boys which are 8 or 10 years as a monk, because that's my monastic age. And when you're 8 or 10 years, you want to look older. So when she's at 8, I'm 10.
So
that is how it is. In a few years, I don't think it's like that anymore. I have a few things to say tonight, and it will be a lot about my home country, Norway. I have a couple of stories I want to say as an introduction to kind of guide your mind in the right direction before we start like some kind of body contemplation. And what I will want to do is to extend a story I told during this weekend retreat I taught a few weeks back. It's a really good story. It's easy for me to tell because it's a personal story, and it's also it is a good story because it is about the second and third noble truth of the Buddha, about letting go of suffering and stop holding on to suffering. I guess what we try to do here in this evening is just like when I was a little kid and I grew up in Norway. I grew up on the countryside, and my dad bought this big property with lots of forest and part of a mountain. So I grew up in the nature, and every Christmas, since we had our forest ourselves, we could go out in the forest and just pick our Christmas tree for the Christmas. And it was always, this is Norway, and Norway is snow from November to April, sometimes a lot, sometimes not that much. But in December, when it's Christmas in Europe, Northern Europe, there's always a lot of snow. So we have to go out and wade and walk in the snow in the forest. And that is okay for a grown-up like my dad, but when the snow was up to his knees, that was up to my tight, and it was not always easy to follow him. But it was fun. We were going to collect a really nice, beautiful Christmas tree, and we walked from tree to tree to find the right one so we could cut it down and bring it back inside. And what I remember that in December, most of the trees are covered with snow, like 5 centimeters or 2 centimeters or 10 centimeters, like a layer on all the branches. The whole tree is like white. And I remember my dad, when he came up to a tree, like, maybe this is a good tree for us. He had to stick his hand in and kind of capture the trunk and really shake it hard so the snow could fall off. So all the snow fell off so you can see the tree. So all these trees, they were kind of collecting, they were holding on to all this snow. And that is a bit what we're trying to do here. We go around and we collect all this mental activity and we keep holding it in our mind. It's all the kind of worries and all the concerns, and it's all the fear and all the emotions. And we kind of stick to it. We keep it inside, and it's so difficult to let it go. And then we come here and we try to see whether we can just let everything fall off, so we can get that snow to fall off the tree by shaking it. But in the world of the mind, you cannot shake. You cannot just go in your mind and shake your mind really hard so all your emotions just fall off. It doesn't work like that. The mind works differently. You cannot shake it off. You can only let it disappear by itself. So that is what we're going to try to do tonight. I'm going to tell you a longer story. And then we can turn down the light and we can do some body contemplation. I will guide you through some body contemplation. And in the end, I don't know, maybe breath meditation. We'll see what happens. The main story is something which happened to me when I was a student in Norway. I was a student in a business school on the west coast of Norway. And me and some friends, we borrowed the car of some of our parents, and we drove that car high up in the mountains of Norway. We were going trekking high up in the mountains. We drove up maybe 1,500 meters above sea level. That's where this trek was starting. It was like a 10-hour trek. Starting 1,500 meters, going up maybe 500, 700 meters more, and then down again. That was the plan. This is in the middle of Norway, where the mountains are the tallest and also the most beautiful. This is the place of Norway I like the most. It's the most beautiful part. It's so high up, it's above the trees. There's no trees there. So it's just beautiful mountains and some lakes and some rivers, and it's quite pure. Mountains, gray, dark mountains. And we came up there, of course, in summertime. In Norway, it starts snowing normally in November every year. And the higher up, the earlier it comes and the more snow is coming. And then it normally snows for 6 months. So high up in the mountains of Norway, it's snow all the time. Everything is just white. So nobody's up there. And then maybe in April, it stops snowing. But since there is a lot of snow there, the nature needs like 2 or 3 more months to melt the snow. And that leaves us with 3 months. So up in the mountains, there's only 3 months without snow. And then the nature is just exploding up there. Then all the trees, all the birds, all the animals, they have 3 months to do everything. It's not like here where all the nature can do its business all year round. So everything just gets neon green, and all the life is coming out, all the birds. So it's so nice to be up there. It's so beautiful. It's so clean. And for me, and it's so peaceful. It's so far away from people. So that's why all the Norwegians, they like going up in the mountains. It's really beautiful up there. I've been to Himalaya once, and even Himalaya is kind of not as nice as my favorite mountains in Norway. That, of course, just me. So we drew up there in a car, and we stopped at the end of a long lake. And we kind of parked the car, and we had lots of preparations to do before the trek starting. And I remember walking a bit away from my friends, and I can still remember this in my head. I was looking down a gravel road with trees on both sides. It was a road which going in parallel to a long lake. And this was when the nature was just exploding up there, and everything was nice and green, and the flowers. And up there are so many butterflies. And I really like butterflies. They're beautiful creatures. Small, colorful, really nice. And I looked down this road with trees on both sides, and there were so many of them. And all of them were blue. And kind of blue butterflies is my favorite. And I wanted to... I went towards them. I wanted to look at those beautiful butterflies. And I wanted to kind of catch one and hold it in my hand so I can just look at this beauty of nature. And I tried to kind of catch one, But as soon as I tried to catch one, they flew away. And then I followed it and tried to catch it in another place, and it flew away again. And then I tried another one again, and every time I tried, one of those blue butterflies, they ran away from me. I couldn't catch them. It was not possible for me to enjoy that beauty of nature. And after trying for a while, I had to give up. I couldn't get what I wanted. I wanted this beauty, but I couldn't get it. So then we started the trek. I went back to my friends, and we all kind of put on all our shoes and our jackets and bags, backpacks, because it's a long trek. It's like 9 or 10 hours, the whole trip. It was a really nice day, a beautiful blue sky, a cooling wind. Everything was just perfect. And we start walking up the hill, up the small mountain, maybe 400 or 500 meters higher up. And then it was a long, long, long walk along like the ridge of a mountain. And that first part of the trip lasted maybe like 5 hours. So it was a 5 hours walk in a beautiful, calm, peaceful nature. And halfway, there is this place which is kind of famous in Norway. It's called Besseggen. It's just one of those iconic places in Norway. Lots of Norwegians and foreigners are kind of visiting because it's such a nice place. And after 5 hours, we came up there. And we stopped to have a break and get some food and just chill out and enjoy the nature. So then after some food and some relaxing, I kind of went on a little trip myself, away from the others. There are so many people walking that track, you're never alone, but it's never crowded either. So the other ones, they started to socialize with the other kind of trekkers. Well, I left them. I went further down to a place where the view was even nicer. Because I just wanted to enjoy that the beauty of nature, the view, standing there and just have this perfect view and see all the lakes and the forest further down and all the little rivers and the clouds above. And those 5 hours of walking up in the nature had did something to my mind. That's the kind of advantage of being out in the nature. You don't have all those stimuli you have living in a city. It's just nature, just mountains, it's just lakes, moss, soft, beautiful, calm. And that was kind of working on my mind for 5 hours. And when I came up there, I was peaceful. I didn't plan to become peaceful or happy. It just happened. It's kind of... it's how what happens to your mind when you go out in the nature. And I was standing there by myself and just watching and enjoying the beauty. And that is when one of those butterflies I was trying to get further down. One butterfly up there just came flying straight towards me and just landed on my chest here. All by itself. I didn't need to try to catch them. I didn't need to do anything. The only thing I needed to do was to stand still and be peaceful. And then all this beauty I was trying to get, all this peace and beautiful beauty I was trying to get further down by catching it, that came all by itself. So there I was, high up in the mountain, me and my little friend, enjoying the calm and the peace, the beauty of the area up there. And he, for me, it is kind of funny, I can still remember standing there, and it was like a 100 kilo blow on my mind. Somebody hit me, but just mentally. I was like, whoa! How is this happening? How can this happen? So it really stuck in my mind, this incident. I think animals are kind of attracted to beings who are peaceful in general. And I didn't intend to be a peaceful person at that time. It just happened because of that trip I went to and the place I was. At that time, I didn't understand kind of the deeper teaching of this. And the deeper teaching is that we're all looking for beauty and peace and happiness inside. And we all want to create it and catch it and make it, produce it. But we can't. Not mentally. Not in your mind, not in your heart. Your heart, your mind works differently. The happiness, the beauty, the peace you're looking for, it will come flying all by itself and land on your mind if you just can calm down. All the joy, all the happiness, all the energy, all the harmony which you might want to be inside, it cannot be produced, but it can arise if you stop wishing for it, creating it, making it, catching it, doing it, producing it. But if you can just try to calm down, and that's what we call meditation, then everything which is inside your mind slowly over time will calm down all by itself. And all these beautiful creatures which you have inside your mind, they will come flying all by themselves and land on you. So you can enjoy the beauty of your mind. And that is what happened to me. As a young student in a business school, I didn't understand. Not at all. I was just shocked by kind of being like a landing strip for a beautiful butterfly. But later on now, I'm starting to understand how this works. And all the beauty you have around you in the nature and how that is created the same way in your mind, by being passive, by being relaxing, by being irresponsible while you're meditating. So let us try now with a little bit of meditation. See whether we can stop craving, stop catching, stop making peace, creating happiness, but just let everything calm down all by itself inside. So what we can do in the beginning is to do some guided meditation on the body, and the point of that is that you can put your awareness or your mindfulness on your body. And as long as you do that and you're able to follow, you can keep your mindfulness on your body. The result of that is everything else which you have in your mind all by itself will calm down. So we can try to stick to one object, one meditation object, the body now in the beginning, for a while, and then we see what happens after a while. So if we can turn down the light, somebody, I don't know who did that, somehow. So please put yourself, your body, into a nice, comfortable posture, as nice, as comfortable as you can. If you have any tight belts or anything, just loosen it up. Put your legs nicely on the floor, with or without a cushion, anything to make yourself, your body comfortable. If you are not able to make your body comfortable, that will create irritation in your mind. So try, please, do everything you can now in the beginning to make like a nice, beautiful, kind posture for your body. And just close your eyes. You're sitting with a big group of really nice people. There's nothing to be fear about sitting here with the closed eyes, or even in a hospital. So it's all safe and good. So during this guided meditation, please do not try to make your mind beautiful. It does not work. You cannot catch happiness and beauty. You just cannot make those butterflies coming, flying and landing on your mind. And suddenly there's beauty and happiness and joy and rapture. Those emotions and feelings you are looking for by coming here, they will come. They will come flying all by themselves when you are ready, when you are calm enough, when you are able to let go of everything inside. These minutes are only for you. Many of you have family and friends and husbands and wife and kids and work and hobbies and responsibilities. This session is only for you. It's not for your family and friends. This is a place where you can come and be irresponsible. You can let go of everything. You don't need to plan anything. You don't even need to think anything. You can withdraw from the thinking inside. You can let the thinking be all by itself. All the fantasies, all the worries, all the suffering, whatever it is you have, just let it be. Let it be in there. And let it do whatever it likes to do. You're allowed during meditation to be irresponsible for your life and for your family. Just be here. Don't try to change anything. And then I will guide you through a body contemplation or body meditation so your awareness can be on your body. So the awareness is not on what is normally happening inside your mind. And when you stop looking at that, what's happening in your mind, those things will calm down. That's the snow on those Christmas tree. That's the way the snow falls off. You cannot shake the tree to make the snow fall off. You cannot shake your mind to make your all your emotions you don't want to fall off. You cannot do that. You can only try to be peaceful and let go and let it be and be really kind, be really gentle with a little smile inside. Just as me when I was walking in the mountains for many, many hours. The only thing I could see for many hours was just the mountains and some little rivers and some butterflies and some mountains and some lakes. That was my meditation object, those hours. Really peaceful. We can try to put our attention on the body and then let everything else calm down. So please put your attention on your feet, which probably is touching the floor. Please feel the touch of the feet down on the carpet or on the pillow you have. Just feel that feeling of touch. If there's any muscles down there which is strained or hard, just allow it to relax. All your toes and your sinews and your everything in your feet. Send lots of kindness to your feet and leave it alone. Don't send any signals down there to do any movements. Leave your legs alone, resting on the floor. If you have any feeling of pain in your legs, send some kindness. Say thank you to your legs for carrying you around in your life. Now it's their turn to rest. You just sit really still and let your leg rest on the floor. Then you can go a bit up. How does your lower part of your legs feel under your knees? Is there any tightness there? Relax it. Leave everything below your knees by itself. stop sending any signals down there to do anything, to control anything. Just leave your legs alone, so they can calm down. Then you have two knees. If you have any pain in your knees, either left side or right side, send all your mental care and kindness down there. So all the muscles and everything is inside your knees can also have a rest during this retreat, this short meditation. Leave it all by itself. Just feel that place on your body, which we call your knees. See if you can feel just one of your knees, your right knee. Can you feel how your knee feels? And then your other knee. Send all your care and kindness down there, so your knee can relax. In a sitting posture, your knee doesn't need to work. It doesn't need to hold the weight of your body. Now it can relax. And then from the knee up to your hips, your thighs, the ones which are touching your chair or touching the floor, if you're sitting on the floor. Can you feel the touch of the chair? If there's anything uncomfortable, then let it be and let it calm down by itself. And the same with your bum. Can you feel your back end resting on the chair? See whether you can let the whole lower part of your body be really relaxed. Don't have any cravings or wishes towards your lower part of your body. Let it be absolutely still. Let it calm down. and you have your stomach. Can you feel it going in and out? It goes in and out as you breathe. Can you feel those movements without interfering? Can you see that process happening all by itself? Your body is breathing, and your stomach goes in and out all by itself. Further up in your body, you have your heart, your physical heart. Can you feel the heartbeat of your body? Thank you, heart, for beating, pumping. That's a hard working muscle for you. Send all your kindness and caring and gratitude to that muscle, which is so vital for your life. See if you can feel 10 heartbeats in a row. Above the heart, you have two lungs. They are also moving in and out as you're breathing in and out. See if you can follow your chest going in and out 10 times in a row. Feel your chest going in and out 10 times. further up you have your shoulders. Are they relaxed now? Or are they still tense? Are they hard? Let them droop. Let them fall down. Let them relax. All the way down. At the end of each shoulders, you have hands. How does your upper hand feel on both sides? If there's any tense, if you're tense, then relax it. Relax all the muscles in both of your hands. Let your hands rest down on your legs. Feel the touch of your hands touching your lap. Let every muscle in both of your hands be completely rested. Don't send any signals down to your hands to do anything. Just leave them just as they are right now. Whatever position it is, leave it as they are just now. Close to your shoulder, you have your neck. There's normally lots of tensions in your neck. Try to really relax everything around your neck. If you feel any tensions, direct some goodwill, some mental care for your neck. Some mental massage. Last part is your head, and in the front you have your face, your eyes, nose, mouth, forehead, and ears. Please let any muscle in your face relax. Just keep your eyes closed and relax your eyes and your eyelids. Just relax your tongue inside. And the last part is what we call the brain. And that is, in one way, the whole point of this. We set a focus on this body, so everything inside his brain also can calm down. Whatever what's going on in your mind or your brain, let that calm down as well. Please feel your whole body now. Is there anywhere which is not relaxed? Then relax that part. Let it rest. Let your body rest really, really, really well. How does it feel to have a relaxed body? I have a second part of this meditation. So while we try to keep the body as it is, as relaxed as possible, try now to see, without interfering, without doing anything, without pushing or pulling anything, try just to see what's going on in your mind or your heart or your brain. Just observe whatever it is which arises and appears in front of your internal eye, your mind's eye. Those emotions, fantasies, thoughts, worries, concerns. See whether you can just look at them. And let them be. And you see they will, after a while, disappear. And I have a little exercise for you, which we can do for 5 or 10 minutes. If you want to, if you have experience, you can now do some breath meditation if you want to, instead of. But one exercise you can do for 5 or 10 minutes is to try to stop your fault-finding mind. We're so used to looking at the bad sides of everything that's happening in life. And I wish you to sit relaxed, like now, and see where you can sit with your inner eyes and watch what's going on inside, not touching anything, and just seeing it, just observing it. And if there is something negative which pops up in your mind, if there's something which you hold on to inside, see whether you deliberately can see something positive with that. Whatever there is of negativity and problems and suffering and fear, worries, concerns, see whether you can turn that around. Whatever your mind produces, make a response which is positive. See something good in what you might think is negative. Deliberately look for the beauty. Look for what is good, because there's always something good, even though it might be bad in the big picture. So please now, I will stop talking now for 5 or 10 minutes. Either focus on your breath for those who want, or just sit and just be passive, irresponsible, kind, and just watch whatever your inner movie in your mind, and try to see something positive in something which might be negative. I'm going to ring the bell now 3 times, and after the third bell, the third ring, then we can open our eyes and finish off. I didn't expect any butterflies coming flying in here and landing on you, but maybe you were able to calm down a bit, calm down your body, calm down all the activities in your mind, and have some really nice relax and peace. We have like 10 or 15 minutes more, I think.
Nearly 20, yeah.
This time, I need somebody to ask for something. Ask me some kind of question. Mm. So, is there anybody here who has some questions which kind of fits in or does not fit in to what we're doing here? Can be from a beginner, or it can be for somebody who's been here for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And please, this is your opportunity.
I find it really hard at sometimes. It's just like sleep. So that I've just gone to sleep.
Yep. Just normal. In normal life, your problem falling asleep. Is that the case? Yeah. Is it because you're thinking a lot? Is there lots of activities?
No, for one, your voice is lovely and hypnotic.
she's meditating.
Okay. Sorry. Well, you're meditating, sleeping. Falling asleep. The only thing I can say is well done. I remember a week back, or a couple of weeks back, when I did this short weekend retreat, and I got some people being very positive and gave me good feedback. And we were sitting, we have this every day, all the monks can come for what we call evening drinks. So those who are a bit tired of being by themselves in the hut, they can come to the main building of the monastery, and we can have some chocolate and some coffee or juice or something like that. And one of the monks, he said that he had a friend who has been listening both to my teachings. And then he's been listening also to Ajahn Brahm's teachings. And Ajahn Brahm is super senior and he's so good at everything when it comes to teachings. And this monk, he said that his friend, when he listened to Ajahn Brahm, he always falls asleep. But then when he listened to me, then he did not fall asleep. And then my monk friend, he said that was something positive. But I'm not sure about that. Honestly, I'm not. Because, you know, if somebody, like, if you fall asleep, then you're really letting go. You're kind of also letting go of kind of awareness, which you kind of supposed to keep in meditation. But if you meditate and you fall asleep, that means you're really letting go. And normally, the reason why you fall asleep is that the general condition of your mind is too kind of active to be able to be mindful. There's too much activities, too much stress, too much doings. So then when you try to meditate, what you might need is to sleep. And only after sleeping enough can you let go without letting go of awareness or mindfulness. And that is why, like when our senior monk Ajahn Brahm, when he's doing and teaching those 9 days retreats, he's telling everybody just to sleep, sleep as much as you want for 3 or 4 days. Just sleep, 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 and sleep, and sleep. Because most people coming because most people coming to a retreat from a normal kind of life in a country like Australia, you're probably stretching your life too much, you're tiring yourself out, you're working too much, you're too active. So when you start to meditate, your mind isn't ready for it, really. You need to get rid of all your sleep deprivation. And that's why Ajahn Brahm is teaching for 3 days. Just walk around and just walk trips and drink lots of tea and stay in that retreat center for 3 days, so you make sure that all your tiredness because of your lifestyle goes away. And when your lifestyle, when all your tiredness is gone, that is when you can do meditation and you can let go a lot and keep your awareness and your mindfulness, and you can go deep without falling asleep. So if in a place like here, you have a normal, active, positive, good life, and you come here and fall asleep, I can't complain about that. I know too much. Before I came here, honestly, I worked between 60 and 70 hours every week as a kind of financial manager, chief financial manager. I was really tired. So if I went to a 9 days retreat, I probably need to sleep for 9 days before I can meditate. So if you fall asleep here, well done. But you probably need more time. You need to get into some kind of, to be able to do deeper meditation with more peace and stronger awareness and joy and some kind of pleasure and joy to arise. Your body is probably telling you just to sleep.
Could you change your time of meditation? Maybe go to a morning meditation instead of an evening?
Yeah, please try. You can play around. There is, of course, time of the day where you are more sleepy than the others. That's true. In the morning, you're probably quite difficult to do sitting meditation or even lying meditation in the morning. You just fall asleep. But in the middle of the day, it's easier. But then most people are really active, working, doing things. And then I come here, or some kind of meditation group in the evening, after a long active day. So this place here, I think that the purpose of coming here is both to learn so you can go back and you can learn to relax and let go and meditate yourself. But for many people coming here, the mind isn't ready yet to be able to be really, really, really peaceful. But you learn how to do it. There's various monks coming here and they have all their various methods of doing it. And after coming here, you can do it yourself and you can play around in your homes whenever you are most awake. That's what I think.
Sorry, can I just on that subject, I was thinking about that this afternoon and it goes along busyness. Oh, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I've got so much to do, I'm so busy. This needs doing, that needs doing, I've got to remember, I'll forget, and oh my gosh. I think a lot of that is a mental state. Busyness is either you can organise things to not be busy.
Yes.
Just do things
and
leave the rest.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to do everything.
No.
Unless you live to be 1,000 years old.
No.
You could sit in this room and be busy.
Yeah.
Reading this or getting those bricks.
Yeah. I think that for most people who have not yet managed to do really good deeper meditation, so you have your own experience of what it is, if you don't have that, then you don't have any contrasts, you don't have it, you can't see any difference. But as soon as you know, if you've been to a longer retreat with a good teacher and you have some experience, so this is how it is to have a really rested mind. This is how it is to have joy and kind of rapture and lots of harmony in your mind. When you know that yourself, and only then will you go back to your normal life and adjust it. But if you don't have that experience yourself, then it's some dumb words from a monk or some another meditator, and it doesn't go deep enough inside of you. But as soon as you are able to know it yourself, that this kind of these meditation techniques we're teaching, they really works, and you know it works yourself, that's when you, in the future, will start to adjust your life. You will start to be less busy. You will start to do less. You will start to worry less because you know that your mind you have now is so dull compared to the mind you can have. If you know how it is to have a really beautiful mind, clear, peaceful, lots of joy and harmony, and you compare it to how it is now, it's time to do something. And that's why the monks are teaching retreats, and we have this retreat center up in Serpentine, so people can come and try to see themselves and experience itself. And if you do it well, then you know. And based on your own experience, you can choose to adjust your life.